Father God, we thank you that we can meet together to celebrate Christmas this year. Lord, we praise you for your goodness to us, for your faithfulness over the past year. And we thank you for your word, and we pray that as we come to consider your word tonight, would you open our hearts and minds to you. Amen. Well, good evening. My name's Peter Follymore, and it's really good to add my welcome to that of Elizabeth to you here tonight. And we're going to spend a few moments considering, the message of Christmas, but particularly the section of John's Gospel that we just had read to us from John chapter 1. The theme of that reading is the word become flesh. God becoming a human being in Jesus Christ. As a society, it could be said that we are a people, a nation, perhaps a world, who are obsessed with our bodies. And I came across rather an amusing tale, which I wanted to share with you, which maybe just highlights how obsessed perhaps we are with our bodies. And this is a story from China. I don't know if anyone saw it on the BBC website. It says, Chinese girl gets kiss of death. A young Chinese woman was left partially deaf following a passionate kiss from her boyfriend. The 20-something from Zhuhai in Guangdong province arrived at hospital having completely lost the hearing in her left ear, said local reports. The incident prompted a series of articles in the local media warning of the dangers of excessive kissing. While kissing is normally very safe, doctors advise people to proceed with caution, wrote the China Daily. The doctor who treated the girl in hospital was quoted in a paper explaining what had happened. The kiss reduced the pressure in the mouth, pulled the eardrum out, and caused the breakdown of the ear. Sounds rather painful, doesn't it? But stories like that have great curiosity value for us. And there's all sorts of features, aren't there, about the human body on our media. So many programs about obesity and diet and weight loss. Rather a curious program earlier this year, which I happened to notice, which was all about why people had boob jobs done. And seemed very kind of, to say it says it all, really, about the obsession that we have with our bodies and our images. There's a picture up there of Oxford Street, and if you walk down Oxford Street, you're bombarded with messages of things that you can buy, things that you could do to improve your image, how you look, your appearance. And yet, it's not all negative. There's some great things to celebrate about the human body, and we're reminded of that in the Olympics this year, the great achievement of some of our British athletes, like Chris Hoy, and perhaps more recently Tom Chambers there, managing to perfect some dancing techniques on Strictly Come Dancing, and I'm sure we've been impressed at the human body on the dance floor if you've been following that program. Well, the incarnation is all about God the Spirit, God the Creator, Eternal God, coming into the human body. A physique like we experience. And in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says this, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And if you just go to the next slide, there's a kind of modern version of that verse, which says this, the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. It's a mystery how this could be, but it's an amazing thing that happened that Christmas night, that God came to dwell within the human body. A Christian writer said this, the greatest mystery of the Christian faith is that God came to us in the body. He suffered with us in the body, rose in the body, and gave us his body as food. No religion takes the body as seriously as the Christian religion. The body is not seen as an enemy or as a prison of the spirit, but celebrated as the spirit's temple. Through Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection, the human body has become part of the life of God. If you were to do a study of the role of the body in other religions, there'd be quite a diverse range of opinions and views. In Judaism, there's lots of teaching about strict law codes of purity, things that you can and can't do with the body. In Buddhism, it seems that one of the aims of that religion is to deny bodily desires and impulses in an attempt to become more spiritual. And in Islam, although there are many common values in Islam between the roots of the Christian faith in some of the Old Testament teachings, it seems that in many modern and extreme Islamic states, the strict dress codes and the prominence of violence presents quite a negative view of the body. Well, in the incarnation, in the Word becoming flesh, God seems to bless the human body. And perhaps we are right to consider our own bodies and the significance of our own lives before God as we come before Him on this Christmas night. The body has the potential to be the dwelling place for God. So what's the importance of this reality, this great truth at the heart of the Christian faith for us? Well, one of the things that the incarnation teaches us that it is possible for a physical life, a human life, to have a spiritual life, for the life of you and me to be intimately connected and in fact to be infilled and indwelled with the very life of God. Now, in our society, we have lots of things which go against belief in God, and we sometimes find it hard to build a spiritual life. We have lots of intellectual difficulties with faith in God, maybe because of our scientific understanding, maybe we have atheist or consumerist or materialist views which go against a belief and confidence in God. Perhaps we also have some personal difficulties based on our experience of suffering or disappointment or even hypocrisy in the church. But the incarnation of Christ gives us hope. God becoming flesh shows us that it is possible for the human mind, the human intellect, and the human body and the human experience to be transformed and to be filled with God, God's presence. In John chapter 1, it also says this: to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were not born of blood, nor of human desire, but born of God. John's gospel is very positive about the possibility of a human life being able to be transformed by God. We are, as John says, able to be born of God, to become children of God, not to be restricted or weighed down by our physicality, by the limitations of our bodies. You know, you may be very much aware of the disappointments in your life, or the intellectual questions, or the frailty of your physical body. But John's gospel gives us hope that our life can be transformed from purely physical to also being a spiritual reality. And John calls this process being born again. And if you read on in John's Gospel, in chapter 3, there's a story of a Jewish intellectual called Nicodemus who has a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus tells him that he needs to be born again. There's a famous Christian author who I'm sure many of us have heard of, Clive Staples Lewis, C.S. Lewis, and one of his stories, dramatised, I think, is going to be on television tomorrow on Christmas Day. He was educated at Oxford in the 1920s, and he achieved a fellowship at Magdalen College. And he spent his young adult life caught up in the intellectual debates of his day between idealism and realism. And into this context of debate and intellectual rigour, he had several Christian friends whom he conversed with. He himself wasn't a Christian at that point. And he entered into a well-documented process of conversion, or as John's Gospel would describe, a process of being born again. And the first sign of his possible conversion was noted in a letter that he sent to one of his closest friends, Owen Barfield, and he wrote this. So this is what C.S. Lewis wrote to his friend. Terrible things have happened to me. The spirit, or real I, is showing an alarming tendency to becoming much more personal and is taking the offensive and behaving just like God. You'd better come on Monday at the latest, or I may have entered a monastery. A few days later, he went for a long walk with his friends Hugh Dyson and J.R.R. Tolkien, which led to him writing the following statement in another letter. He said, I have passed from believing in God to definitely believing in Christ, in Christianity. My long night walk with Dyson and Tolkien had a great deal to do with it. C.S. Lewis there describing how he went through this process of believing in Christ, not just believing in God, but believing in the person of Christ. And in that way, he became born again. It's a process and an experience that God wants for each and every one of us. In my own life, I have to confess, I was not an academic or an intellectual. And I was a young teenager with more kind of narcissistic questions and emotional issues than intellectual ones at the time. But I was searching for direction and purpose and meaning in my life. And into that search came Christians, and God sent other Christians along into my life who were able to, like C.S. Lewis, come on walks with me, explain who Christ was, and help me to begin a relationship with him. If you're interested or curious to know more about what that personal relationship might involve, then I encourage you to pursue that in the coming year. And we have some books which you can take away. There's one called Why Christmas, and there's also some copies of John's Gospel which you could take to read for yourself and study a little bit more about who Jesus was. So the first question from the reading tonight really is, have we received Christ? Have we believed in him and been born again? The second question is, for those of us who are already Christians, is to say, how are we going to use our flesh and blood body in the coming year? How are we going to be faithful to God in our bodies in the year ahead? As we had up on the screen earlier, the Word became flesh and moved into the neighbourhood. When Jesus arrived on the scene of the world, the important bit wasn't so much his birth as his whole life. Jesus really did move into the neighbourhood and transform it. He went, first of all, in John chapter 2, to the temple, and he demanded justice. He brought an end to the hypocrisy in the temple. He then went to a wedding and transformed some massive containers of water into the best wine that you could imagine so it could be served at his friend's wedding. He healed a man who'd been paralyzed for 38 years and transformed his life. And he fed over 5,000 people in a miraculous way with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. This was a man who did come and dwell within the neighborhood and transform it. His life was a radical one, and the question for us, if we are Christian and sat here tonight in Christmas 2008, is how are we going to let God dwell within us and use us to transform the neighbourhood, the community, the world in which we inhabit and live? Finally, Jesus wasn't obsessed by his body as we have the tendency to be in our own lives today. Jesus loved life. He lived life to the full, the Bible says. But he wasn't obsessed with himself, with his own image, or with who he was. His motivation was outwards. It was towards others. It wasn't inward and selfish. Ultimately, as we will celebrate in a few moments around the communion table, he laid down his life for the salvation of the world so that we too could know an intimate relationship with God the Father, just like he had experienced in his human life. Jesus' life is a life to be celebrated. It's a life to be honoured, and it's a life to be followed. Will you follow his example tonight and in the year ahead? Amen.